So, brethren, the title of the sermon today is The Sound of the Trumpet. The Sound of the Trumpet. On the Feast of Trumpets, in the past history, a trumpet blast rang out for everyone to hear. It was loud enough for everyone to hear. It was a day, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. But what does the term blowing of trumpets actually mean? What does that term actually mean? Blowing of trumpets. What does it actually mean? What should be in our spiritual hearing of a trumpet on the Feast of Trumpets a few days from now? Let's begin over in Leviticus chapter 23. Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 24. Leviticus chapter 23, beginning in verse 24. It says here in Leviticus 23, beginning in verse 24, it says this. It says, "Speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, ye shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of blowing of trumpets, a holy convocation. You shall do no customary work on it, and you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord." Now, there are three things that are mentioned here that we shall have. Three things. Number one, it says a Sabbath rest. A Sabbath rest. Number two, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. A memorial of blowing of trumpets. And number three, it says here, a holy convocation. Three things are called out here. A Sabbath rest, we understand, right? We understand what it means to take a Sabbath rest. We are enjoying a Sabbath rest today. And then the third thing it mentioned was a holy convocation or a holy gathering on the first day in the seventh month as commanded by the Lord. We grasp what a holy convocation is. But in the middle of that, in the middle of the Sabbath rest, and the holy convocation, it says, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. What does that mean? What exactly does that mean? It's pretty important, this memorial of blowing of trumpets. God says, these three things we shall have. Today, I want to simply take a look at this phrase, a memorial of blowing of trumpets. I want to look at its meaning. I want to look at the sound itself and its importance in the life of ancient Israel, and its importance of the blowing of trumpets in our lives today, as well as the importance of that phrase in our future. In our future. The fact that God commands us on the Feast of Trumpets that it be a memorial of blowing of trumpets, means that there is a lifetime's worth of information that God provides us to remember as a memorial. Now, this word memorial in the Hebrew is zikron, Z-I-K-R-O-N. The word memorial is zikron, Z-I-K-R-O-N. This is out the Baker's Encyclopedia of the Bible, the Baker's Encyclopedia of the Bible with regard to this word zikron or memorial. It says of zikron, something which keeps remembrance vivid. The idea is represented by the words remember, remembrance, and memorial are closely connected in the same parlance as well as in biblical usage. The Hebrew and Greek words translated as memorial in the Old Testament and the New Testament are nominal derivatives of the verbal root meaning to remember. So God is saying right here in the middle of here, there's something that you need to remember about the blowing of trumpets. Something that we need to remember about the blowing of trumpets. God says that this feast day is a remembrance of the blowing of trumpets. So whatever the blowing of trumpets means, God says, keep this remembrance vivid. Keep it vivid. So what does this phrase, blowing of trumpets, mean? What does the phrase, blowing of trumpets, mean? You know, the Hebrew word for blowing of trumpets is actually one word. That phrase, blowing of trumpets, is actually one word. The word is teruah, T-R-U-A, teruah, teruah. That entire phrase is actually only one single word in the Hebrew. This is out of the biblical language, the Dictionary of Biblical Languages with Semantic Domains. It says this of the word teruah. This word, blowing of trumpets, means blast, the sound of an ancient trumpet as a signal, to cry with a voice, loud sounds, shouts of joy, of joyful acclaim, a clashing. So it's not the instrument that's important. Oftentimes when we think about the blowing of trumpets, we think about the instrument, you know, either a regular trumpet or either a ram's horn or something that, you know, we think about the instrument. But what's clear about this definition is that it's not the instrument, it's the sound. It's the sound that the instrument makes that signals an alarm, an event that should be remembered. The sound. Remembering that sound or the events when the alarm, the signal, the sound of the trumpet was, is, or will be made is very important. God says, don't forget about this. Don't forget about the times when this sound was made. The concept of a loud sound, an alarm, a signal is very important to God in the lives of mankind, as we shall see. God says, on this holy convocation, remember when the trumpet blasted. Remember when the alarm sounded. Remember when the signal was given. Remember when the clash was heard. So what signal? What alarm? What sounds? What sounds of trumpet? What loud sounds? What teruah is he talking about? I propose all of them. All of them. All of the alarms, all of the signals, all of the sounds, all of the trumpet blasts in Scripture is what we have to remember. All of them. All of them and each of them should be remembered by the people of God as an announcement to take note. All of them. And on the Feast of Trumpets, there is no greater announcement in the life of mankind than the announcement of Jesus Christ's return. You can read about that over in Revelations 8, 9, 10, and 11. I won't take the time to go through those today. But as we will congregate or assemble on the Feast of Trumpets, God says, remember teruah. Remember the sound. Remember the alarm. Remember that. Remember means to look back at. Don't forget when the trumpet blasts. Don't forget the alarms. Don't forget the loud sounds. Don't forget the blast in the past or the blast that shall come in the future. Don't forget. Don't forget. A memorial of blowing of trumpets, a memorial of teruah, a memorial of that sound. Don't forget. Now, as we look at the meaning of this word teruah, loud sounds, or ruah in the singular form, a loud sound, I want us to take note of each of the meanings expressed, and not only at that time, but also having to do with the future fulfillment of the Feast of Trumpets. So let's take a look at the sounding of trumpets and the use of this word teruah. Because in that phrase, a memorial of blowing of teruah really says, remember teruah. Remember this sound. And what sound? I propose that it's all the places where this word teruah is used in Scripture. Where it's used in Scripture. So we're going to take a look at some of that today. Now, the theological word book of the Old Testament, this is what it says about the word teruah. Teruah. It says, this is a feminine noun formed from the root of ruah. Ruah. It is a purely Hebrew formation and occurs 36 times in the Old Testament, mostly in the singular form. So this word teruah, or its root, ruah, is used 36 times in Scripture. 36 times. So when God says that we need to remember teruah, one of the things that we can do is go back into Scripture and see where these 36 times are used and see what it tells us. And see what it tells us. And I think we'll see some very fascinating things when we follow this through Scripture. Remember teruah. Remember the sound. And look in Scripture to see where this word is used. Now, I would love to take us through all 36 occurrences. It would take about 4 or 5 hours. And I would love to do that, but I'm also remember what happened to Eutychus, who was sitting on the windowsill when Paul was preaching. He fell out, hit his head, was taken up dead. Paul had to resurrect him. You know, I have a lot of faith that if one of you fall out your chair because I'm speaking too long and get knocked out, you know, I know that God can, but we're not going to chance that today. So we're just going to hit a few of these. We're not going to go through all 36, but let's continue here with the definition. This is, again, out of the theological word book of the Old Testament. It states this again about this word, teruah. It says there are four distinct senses in which teruah is used. It is used for a signal. It is used for an alarm. It is used for a tumult of battle. And it's used for exaltation and praise. So those 36 can be subdivided into four ways in which it can be used. To remember the signal, remember the alarm, remember the tumult of battle, remember the exaltation of praise to God. So that's one way that those 36 can be subdivided. I'm going to use a division a different way out of the word, the Bible word study, as well as the Dictionary of Biblical Languages with Semantic Domains. They divide it a little bit differently than the Theological Word Book of the Old Testament. The way that they divide these 36 verses where this word teruah is used, number one, to shout. 15 of the 36 times when teruah is translated, is translated as the word shout. Shout 15 times of the 36. Number two, a joyful shout. A joyful shout. 11 of the 36 times is translated a joyful shout. Number three, a trumpet blast. A trumpet blast. And that's what we most of the time think about when we think about the Feast of Trumpets. But this word teruah actually has more than just a trumpet blast. But the third meaning is a trumpet blast. And it's translated trumpet blast 8 times of the 36. And then the fourth way that this word is translated is just blast. Blast. 2 times is translated as blast. So I want to look at each of these subdivisions, these four, the shout, the joyful shout, the trumpet blast, and the blast. And the blast. Again, what God said there in Leviticus 23, verse 24, that it is a memorial of teruah. A memorial of teruah. So one of the things that we can do is look in the Bible and see, well, what are you telling us to remember, God, about teruah? And simply follow that word through scripture and seeing what it says out of the Hebrew. So number one, remember the shout. Remember the shout. This is 15 of the 36 times where this word teruah is used, remember the shout. Now, the very first occurrence of the word teruah in the sense of a shout is found in the scriptural history of Balaam and Balak's interaction with Jesus Christ, the Messiah, who appears to them in the form of an angel and saving the lives of the children of Israel. Go with me over to Numbers chapter 22. Beginning in verse 5. I'm going to spend a little bit of time going through this particular example here. I'll be summarizing some of it, but I do want to spend some time because this is very revealing. This shows how powerful this word is. Remember teruah. This word teruah is used in one of the oracles by Balaam that we're going to see. And it actually is very interesting how it is used and where it is used. But let's follow this story. Here, let's begin here reading in Numbers chapter 22, beginning in verse 5. It says here, then he, Balak, now Balak is the son of Zippor. He's the king of the Moabites. Balak is the king of the Moabites. And he sent to Balaam. Now Balaam is the prophet or the messenger of God. So he, Balak, sent messengers to Balaam, the son of Beor, at Pethor, which is near the river in the land of the sons of his people, to call him, saying, look, a people has come up out of Egypt. See, they cover the face of the earth and are settling next to me. Therefore, please come at once. Curse this people for me, for they are too mighty for me. Perhaps I shall be able to defeat them and drive them out of the land, for I know that whom you bless is blessed, and whom you curse is cursed. Now, the word used for teruah occurs in the next chapter in chapter 23, verse 21. Let me summarize a little bit here to get us closer to that. Let me summarize what's happening here with Balaam, because it's going to be in the midst of a prophecy by Balaam where this word teruah is used. Now, again, we go back to what teruah says, what it said there in Leviticus 23, verse 24. Remember teruah. Remember teruah. So this story here, Balak sends for Balaam, the prophet of God, to curse the people of Israel who had come out of Egypt. They had come out of sin, right? The children of Israel were in Egypt. Egypt represents sin. They had come out of sin, and they're beginning to settle in this area where Balak is. There are a great multitude, a great multitude. Now, when the messengers come to Balaam, requesting that he come to Balak to curse Israel, Balaam inquires of God, and God tells him, don't go. Don't follow Balak. Don't go with the messengers. You stay right here where you are. Balak lays on a heavy persuasive bribe, and he will honor Balaam greatly with all sorts of riches if he comes and curses Israel. So he says, okay, well, look, you know, if you come, I'm going to give you riches. I'm going to give you this. I'm going to give you that. Just come and curse this people. Now, even though Balaam agrees to follow God's command and not return with Balak's messengers, it seems that Balaam's heart, in his heart, he really wanted to go. He wanted to go and receive this honor. He wanted to go and receive all these riches that Balak had promised him. God tells Balaam, when the men come back a second time to further persuade him, okay, it's in your heart to go, then you go on and go, but speak only the words that I tell you to speak. You can go, but only speak what I tell you to speak. So Balaam mounts his donkey to meet up with Balak's men to go and see Balak, make their way to Balak. Now, three times an angel of the Lord, which clearly seems to be Jesus Christ, and we're going to look at that. This angel of the Lord clearly seems to be Jesus Christ, stands in the way of the donkey that Balaam is riding on his way back to see Balak. The donkey sees the angel, goes off the road to get around this angel the first time. Then the angel is now standing in a narrow pass on the second time, and the donkey crushes Balaam's foot against the wall to try to get around this angel and not fall off the cliff. And then finally, it's a very narrow path with no way of getting around it. And this angel is standing there, and the donkey just lays down. It just lays down. And Balaam then threatens to kill the donkey. I'm going to kill you. Let's pick up the story in Numbers 22, beginning in verse 28. Numbers 22, beginning in verse 28. It says, then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey. That's when I would be out of there. I mean, I'm not sure what the mentality is of Balaam, that a donkey can start talking to you and he thinks that that's okay. But he's a different man than I am. I'd be like, gone. I'm out of here. But then the Lord opened the mouth of the donkey, and she said to Balaam, now this is the donkey speaking, what have I done to you that you have struck me these three times? And Balaam's going to talk back to the donkey. This is just incredible. Then Balaam said to the donkey, because you have abused me. I wish there were a sword in my hand, for now I would kill you. So the donkey said to Balaam, am I not your donkey on which you have ridden? Ever since I became yours to this day, was I ever disposed to do this to you? He said, no. Verse 31, then the Lord opened Balaam's eyes, and he saw the angel of the Lord. This word angel of the Lord, if you look in your Bible, as possibly in your Bible, as it is in my King James, New King James Version, this word angel of the Lord is Malak Yahweh. Malak Yahweh, M-A-L-A-K Yahweh, Malak Yahweh, angel of the Lord. And you can notice that angel is capitalized. is capitalized because even in the Hebrew, they recognize that this angel wasn't just a normal angel. This was a manifestation of God. It was God. This was Jesus Christ. That's why it says angel of the Lord, Melech Yahweh. That is what that translation is. So then the Lord opened the eyes of Balaam, and he saw the angel of the Lord standing in the way with his drawn sword in his hand. And in my version of the Bible, his is capitalized, his drawn sword, and his hand is capitalized. Again, further evidence that in the Hebrew, they recognize that this is greater. This is not just an angel. This is divinity. This is divinity. And he bowed his head and fell down on his face. Another indication that this is Jesus Christ, because God tells us you don't fall down to angels. You don't bow down to angels. So when he bowed down to this particular angel in reverence to the angel, it was allowed to continue. Why? Because it represented Jesus Christ. That angel was Jesus Christ. Was Jesus Christ. Verse 32. And the angel of the Lord said to him, why have you struck your donkey these three times? Behold, I have come out to stand against you because your way is perverse before me. You had in your heart that you wanted to do what you wanted to do. And you're only being obedient because you know what would happen if you weren't. You have a perverse heart. The angel tells Balaam to go to Balak, but reminds him, only speak what I tell you. The message to Balak comes in the form of three prophecies. The message comes in the form of three prophecies, and it is in the second prophecy where the word ruah is used that gives us a real clear indication of why God says, remember ruah on the Feast of Trumpets. God says on the Feast of Trumpets, remember teruah, remember the shouts, remember the loud noises, remember the warning sounds which come in God's scripture. We must remember the stories that are connected to the word ruah. Connected to the word ruah because they point right back to the coming of Jesus Christ, as we'll see here in this example here. Balaam speaks to Balak and his princesses in the second oracle. Go with me over to Numbers chapter 23. Just drop down to verse 18. Numbers 23, drop down to verse 18. Balaam speaks to Balak and his princes in the second oracle as Balak pushes hard on Balaam to disobey the commandments of God and to curse the children of Israel. Here in Numbers chapter 23, verse 18, this is what it says. It says, then he, Balaam, took up his oracle and said, rise up, Balak, and hear. Listen to me, son of Zippor. So this is a message for us to remember regarding the Feast of Trumpets. Here's a message. Because in a couple verses, we're going to see in verse 21, we're going to see this word ruah. Verse 19. Here's a message that we need to remember. God is not a man that he should lie, nor a son of man that he should repent. He has said, and will he not do? Or has he spoken, and will he not make good? Behold, I receive a commandment to bless. He has blessed, and I cannot reverse it. He has not observed iniquity in Jacob, nor has he seen wickedness in Israel. The Lord God is with him. The shout, teruah, of a king is among them. So just following this word, we come to this instance here where this word teruah is used in the second prophecy. The shout, the teruah, the same word that's used back there in Leviticus 23, 36 times in scripture is used here, that a king is among them. A king is among them. This is a message having to do with the Feast of Trumpets. When a shout of a king, notice the king here is capitalized. It's not talking about a physical king. This is talking about Jesus Christ. The king is among them. This is a message of the forgiven children of Israel in the future. We have come out of sin. We have come out of Egypt. And we have entered into a relationship with the king. The king. We shall be a great multitude that descends with Jesus Christ on the Mount of Olives as a great army of blessed saints whose blessing is upon us at that time in the future cannot be reversed. Once we are spirit beings, it can't be reversed. Right, it said in verse 20, I cannot reverse it. When we are made spirit beings, that's it. We're spirit beings. It can't be reversed. This prophecy is a prophecy. This story is a story, a prophecy having to do with the coming Jesus Christ. It says, and the king, Jesus Christ, will be among us, just as he was there in the midst of Balaam. The messenger and the servant of God is in the midst of the people. Verse 22 continues, says, God brings them out of Egypt. God brings us out of sin. He has strength like a wild ox, for there is no sorcery against Jacob, nor any divination against Israel. It now must be said of Jacob and Israel, oh, what God has done. Oh, what God has done. That will be the proclamation when the world, when Jesus Christ returns and they see us. They see you. A memorial of Teruah, a memorial of the shout of the king being among them. They'll say, oh, what God has done. Can you imagine what your co-workers, what your relatives, what your friends and your enemies alike will say when they realize that you are a saint of God? Can you, that this is what they're going to say. Oh, what God has done. Can't believe that. You? Yes, I'm a saint. That's why I was different. That's why I live my life differently than what you recognize. This is what they're going to, oh, what God has done. And it makes clear here, even before their verses, that verse, that there's not divination that's involved with here. This is not sorcery. This is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords who has returned. And the world's going to look at you. The world's going to look at me if we remain faithful and say, oh, what God has done. Incredible. What God has done. Can you imagine what that will be like? Family, I know that life is tough. It's very, very tough at times. But our future does not end in this flesh. This is not what it's about. Our future begins when the world will look at us as the children of God and proclaim, oh, what God has done. That word Teruah led us right here. Picturing the return of Jesus Christ. Picturing what God is going to do in our lives. Verse 24 says, look, a people rises like a lioness and lifts itself up like a lion. What is a lion? A lion is a king. Lionesses are kings. It shall not lie down until it devours the prey and drinks the blood of the slain. Then Balak said to Balaam, neither curse them at all nor bless them at all. So Balaam answered and said to Balak, did I not tell you, saying, all that the Lord speaks, I must do? You see, brethren, this is not just a story about a talking donkey. This is a prophecy pointing to the time when the great trumpet shall sound and Christ returns. Israel, spiritual Israel, will rise up like a lion in that day and shall not lie down until the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. He's going to rise up just like it said here in this prophecy and not lie down until all is taken care of. And the world's going to look at us because we're going to be the ones on the Feast of Trumpets that will be raised from the grave, will meet Jesus Christ in the air and be recognized by the world as the saints of God. Oh, what God has done. And our work is not going to be finished until all is cleaned up. We're not going to lie down until all is cleaned up. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. Revelation chapter 11 verse 15 says this. Then the seventh angel sounded and there were loud voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world have become the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. This is what's going to happen. Just like the oracle there of Balaam. This is what's going to happen. on the Feast of Trumpets, remember the story of Balaam and the donkey and Balak and the curse that Balak once placed on the children of Israel. That's what we're going through now. Satan wants a curse on us. He wants us to remain in Egypt. He wants us to go back to Egypt. If we remain faithful, the king is going to be among us. He's going to resurrect us. And the world will look at us and say, oh, what the Lord has done. I can't believe it. You? Yep, me. Yep, me. Teruah has led us to that verse. A second place where this word teruah is used, meaning a shout. Another one is over in Joshua chapter 6. Joshua chapter 6 and verse 1. Not only in the story of Balak, we're just going to look at a few of these today. A few of these examples where this word teruah is used. God says, remember teruah. One of the things we can do is just follow it through the Hebrew. Follow it through scripture. What is it that God is telling us to remember? Over here in Joshua. Joshua chapter 6 beginning in verse 1. Joshua chapter 6 beginning in verse 1. This is a familiar biblical historical recording of Joshua and the battle of Jericho. Here beginning in Joshua chapter 6 verse 1. It says, now Jericho was securely shut up because of the children of Israel. None went out and none came in. And the Lord said to Joshua, see, I have given Jericho into your hand, its king and its mighty men of valor. You shall march around the city, all you men of war. You shall go all around the city once. Then you shall do this, 6 days. Verse 4. And the seven priests shall bear seven trumpets of ram's horns, horns of ram's horns before the ark. But the seventh day you shall march around the city seven times, and the priest shall blow the trumpets. It shall come to pass when they make a long blast with the ram's horn, and when you hear the sound of the trumpet, that the people shall shout with a great teruah. The people are making the sound here. You see, over there in Leviticus, it says, remember the blowing of trumpets, but it says, remember teruah. A memorial of teruah. So not only could it be the sound of a trumpet, it could be the sound of people's voices, as it is here in Joshua. It says, and the people shall shout a great teruah when the walls of the city shall fall flat, and the people shall go up, every man straight before him. You know, what is interesting here, again, is that it's not the sound of a trumpet that made the walls fall flat. It was the people who shouted teruah. It was the loudness of their voice that God recognized. But understand this, God made the city fall, the walls fall flat. They could have marched around that place 100 times a day and shouted all they wanted to shout. The walls fell flat because the king was with them and the king knocked the walls down. He just allowed them to participate in the process. It's sort of like us. He's allowing us to participate in the process of bringing this world to a place where it recognizes who Jesus Christ is. We're just participating in the process of preaching the gospel. But all of our preaching the gospel will not make this world change. Jesus Christ has to get directly involved, like he did there in Jericho. God says on the Feast of Trumpet, remember this. Remember the shout of the people as connected with the fall of Jericho. Verse 20, Joshua 6, verse 20. So the people shouted when the priest blew the trumpets, and it happened when the people heard the sound of the trumpet and the people shouted with the great teruah that the walls fell flat. Then the people went up into the city, every man straight before him, and they took the city. They took the city. And again, the people heard the trumpet, but what made the walls fall flat was the voice, the united voice of the people, and God knocked the wall down. Teruah is used of the people's voice. Again, we have to definitely understand that it is the power of God. That's my perspective. Several historical and biblical sources have the wall from 11 to 26 feet high and more than 6 feet wide. God had to knock that down because God was with them. The king is with us. The same thing that is said back there with the story of Balaam and Balak. The king was with them. The king was with them here in Jericho. So is there something in your life that you need to shout about? Is there something in your life where you need God to get involved? Ask him to get involved. On the Feast of Trumpets, it's not just the sound of the trumpets, it's the sound of the people's voices. Go with me over to Zechariah. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 6. Zechariah chapter 3 and verse 6. This is how the walls of the world, the walls of our life will fall. Not by our might, but by God's might, by God's power. Here in Zechariah chapter 3 verse 6 it says, then the angel of the Lord, again, Malach Yahweh, Jesus Christ speaking here. Then the angel of the Lord admonished Joshua saying, thus says the Lord of hosts, if you will walk in my way, again in my Bible, my is capitalized. Why? Because the Hebrew recognizes again that this is divinity speaking. This is Jesus Christ speaking. If you will walk in my ways, and if you keep my commandments, then you shall also judge my house, and likewise have a charge of my courts. I will give you places to walk among these who stand here. Hear, O Joshua, the high priest, you and your companions who sit before you, for they are a wondrous sign. For behold, I am bringing forth my servant, the branch, Jesus Christ. I'm bringing forth Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is going to be in your midst. Drop down to chapter 4, verse 6. 4, verse 6, it says, so he answered and said to me, this is the word of the Lord to Zerubbabel, not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, says the Lord of hosts. God the Father does the work. Jesus Christ does the work. We can march around and shout all we want. And we should be involved in the work of God, but should never, ever think it's our work. It's because God recognizes what we're doing, and God decides to step in. God decides to step in. So we can go in the streets of, you know, North Carolina, Oklahoma. We can go down to Miami, Florida, and start watching around with signs, you know, repent. Jesus Christ is coming back. You can do all that you want. You can go over to Aleppo or to Syria or to Nigeria. You can go over to India, North Korea, Pakistan, China. You can do all that you want. But unless God is involved and God decides that he's going to cause a change, nothing will happen. Nothing will happen. The king has to be amongst you. The king has to be amongst you. That is what these scriptures are telling us. The return of Jesus Christ is absolutely necessary. It's necessary. Go with me to Isaiah 58, verse 1. Isaiah 58, verse 1. God allows us to participate in the process, but we should never, ever think that it's our work. God has to be involved. God knocked the walls down. God is the one that is involved. Here in Isaiah 58, verse 1, it says, cry aloud, spare not. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Lift up your voice like a trumpet. Tell my people their transgressions and the house of Jacob their sins. So that is the part of the work that we have. Absolutely it is. But it's God's work. He has to be involved. But it will be the power of God seeing Christ in us, recognizing our faithful shout that he then chooses at the right time to act on our behalf. And bring the walls of Jericho down. Bring the walls of Jericho down. We know what it says over in Matthew 24, verse 22. I won't turn there. Matthew 24, verse 22 says, unless those days are shortened, unless those days are shortened, no flesh will be saved alive, but for the elect's sake. Because God said so, those days will be shortened. So do we have a part in the work? Yes. When that trumpet sounds, are we going to be involved in the work? Yes. Yes, we will. But it's God that's going to get this world straight and allow us to participate in it. It's because Christ is in us that God the Father will send back his son to this earth at the sound of the trumpet. And just as the walls of Jericho fell before the obedient, fell before the disobedient, it's going to fall before us. The obedience of God's people. Remember the teruah, the blowing of the trumpet, the sound of the trumpet, the shout. Remember Balaam and the shout of the king. The king is among the people of God. Remember the shout of the armies of Israel at the walls of Jericho. Teruah. Just looked at those two examples just 2 of the 15 of those 36. Let's go to the second definition here. Remember the joyful shout. Remember the joyful shout. This is 11 of the 36 of Teruah is a joyful shout. Go with me over to 1 Samuel chapter 4 and verse 5. 1 Samuel chapter 4. Beginning in verse 5. When Christ returns, there will be a joyful shout because Jesus Christ will be among the people of God. A joyful shout. The ones that we looked at before weren't necessarily joyful shouts. This will be a joyful shout here in 1 Samuel chapter 4, beginning in verse 5. It says, when the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the camp, all Israel shouted so loudly, Teruah. Shouted loudly here is Teruah, that the earth itself shook. Now, when the Philistines heard the noise of the shout, when they heard this joyful shouting, this Teruah, they said, what does this sound of great shout, this great shouting of joy in the camp of the Hebrews mean? Then they understood that the ark of the Lord had come into the camp. So the Philistines were afraid, for they said, God has come into camp. And they said, woe to us, for such a thing has never happened before. That is what's going to happen at Jesus Christ's return. You see how this word works? It led us here. That's what's going to happen when Jesus Christ returns. They can say, wait a minute, this has never happened before. The sky has split. Everybody heard it. There's something happening over top of Jerusalem. All these gods are coming down with Jesus Christ. Whoa, what's happening here? What's happening here? For such a thing has never happened before. Verse 8, woe to us. That's exactly what they're going to say. Woe to us. Who will deliver us from the land of these, get this, mighty gods. That's what we'll be then. We'll be gods. We'll have the name of God. We'll be transformed on the Feast of Trumpets from physical being to spirit being. From physical being to spirit being. They recognize what was happening here as mighty gods. It says, these are the gods who struck the Egyptians with all the plagues in the wilderness. This is going to be repeated. Our word Teruah brought us here to 1 Samuel. On the Feast of Trumpets, we must remember the great shout that will go out when God and the saints come into the camps of men. Come into the camps of men. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16. 1 Thessalonians chapter 4 and verse 16. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 16 says, for the Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise first. Then we who are alive and remain shall be caught up together with them in the clouds to meet the Lord in the air as he's descending onto the Mount of Olives, and thus we shall always be with the Lord. Therefore, comfort one another with these words. That's what's going to take place. How loud of a sound of the trumpet of God will that be? And we look forward and want this day so much for this dying world. Go with me over to 1 Chronicles 15, another example of this joyful shout. A joyful shout. What will it be like for us? 1 Chronicles 15, verse 27. Again, following this word through scripture. 1 Chronicles chapter 15, verse 27. So David was clothed with the robe of fine linen, and were all of the Levites who bore the, as were all of the Levites who bore the ark, the singers, and Chaniah, the music master with the singers. David also wore a linen ephod. Thus all Israel brought up the ark of the Lord. Again, God coming into the presence. God coming into the presence. That's what the Feast of Trumpets is about. Finally, God coming into the presence of all mankind. It says, thus all Israel brought up the ark of the covenant of the Lord with Teruah. Here's our word again. It led us here. With Teruah. With the sound of the horn and with trumpets and with cymbals and making music and stringed instruments and harps. And it happened as the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord came into the city of David, that Michal, Saul's daughter, looked through a window and saw David whirling and playing music, and she despised him in his heart. That's going to be the same thing when Jesus Christ returns. There are going to be people that sees all this happening, see people rejoicing, having parties, loving the fact that finally there's an answer, and there are going to be people sitting around saying, you know what? And I hate those folks. Don't like them at all. Never did like them. And that's what we're going to have. Again, our word teruah brings us here. When Jesus Christ raises the saints from the grave and we realize what has taken place, we're going to whirl. We're going to shout. We're going to have a lot of joy. Teruah. Teruah. A joyful shout. Consider what it says over here in Job 33, verse 26. Another occurrence of this word, a joyful shout, teruah. Job, chapter 33, and verse 26. Job 33, verse 26, it says, he shall pray to God, and he will delight in him. He shall see his face with joy. God's face will look like joy. Teruah, a joyful shout. That's how Job here describes the face of God at that time. He's not going to be sitting somber while we're partying. God is going to be happy. God the Father and Jesus Christ are going to be delighted. You're going to see it in their face. That's what this says here. Teruah has brought us here. He shall see his face with joy. His face, capital H. And for he restores his, restores to man his righteousness. Why is God so happy? Because he has restored into man his righteousness. God is restoring into mankind his righteousness. When does that take place? That takes place at the return of Jesus Christ. And God the Father is going to be so happy that his face is going to resonate with joy. With joy. Why? Because righteousness has filled his people again. Righteousness. Psalm 33, verse 1. Another quick example. Psalm 33, verse 1. Again, following this word, teruah. Leviticus says, remember teruah. Not just the sound of the trumpet, as it's translated in English, but remember the sound. Remember the places where teruah is used in scripture. Follow it through. See what it says. Here in Psalms 33, verse 1, it says, rejoice in the Lord, O you righteous, for praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise from the upright is beautiful. Praise the Lord with the harp. Make melody to him with an instrument of 10 strings. Sing to him with new songs. Play skillfully with a shout of teruah. With a shout of joy. For the word of the Lord is right, and all his words are done in truth. He loves righteousness and justice. The earth is full of the goodness of the Lord. When does that happen? Trumpets is when it begins. Satan then gets put away. The Feast of Tabernacles comes, the last great day. Teruah brings us here to this verse. The earth full of the goodness of the Lord happens at that time. This is the millennial psalm. The earth will be full of the goodness of the Lord when the government of God is established at the return of Jesus Christ, at the sound of that trumpet. These words are so encouraging. They're so uplifting. We as the children of God must be forward-looking. Forward-looking. This is our hope. This is the hope for all of mankind. Psalm 47 and verse 5. Psalm 47 and verse 5. This is a very beautiful, beautiful, beautiful verse here. It says, God has gone up. God has gone up with a shout, with teruah. A joyful shout. God has gone up with a joyful shout. The Lord, with the sound of a trumpet, sing praises to God, sing praises to our King, sing praises, for God is the King of all the earth. Sing praises with understanding. I love that. Sing praises with understanding. I love gospel music. I love gospel music. I love the rhythm. I love the words. But so many of the words are without understanding. Without understanding. We'll be in the millennium, be able to say, yep, enjoy that music. Yep, the words. But do you know what you're singing about? All right, do you understand what it means? You didn't back then. Do you understand it now? It says, sing praises with understanding. How joyful. This Teruah brought us here. When is that going to take place? When all the kings of the earth, God is King of all the earth. When does that take place? When Jesus Christ returns. Our word has brought us here to this scripture. To this scripture. It says here, continuing in verse 8, God reigns over the nations. It's amazing. Just follow what God says. The memorial of Teruah. Remember Teruah. Where does it occur in scripture? It says God sits on his throne. Verse 9. The princes of the people have gathered together the people of the God of Abraham. For the shield of the earth belongs to God. He is greatly exalted. The shields of the earth belong to God. Incredible. When is all that happens at the return of Jesus Christ? Follow Teruah. Rejoice in Teruah. Remember Teruah. One more scripture here. Psalms 89, verse 15. Psalm 89, verse 15. It says, blessed are the people. Blessed are the beautiful scripture here. Blessed are the people who know the joyful sound. Blessed are the people who know Teruah. Blessed are the people who know Teruah. Blessed are the people who can remember Teruah, who have the understanding of Teruah. The joyful shout, the places where it is used in scripture, what it means, what it points to. The understanding is so deep. It says, they walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Isn't that peaceful? They walk, O Lord, in the light of your countenance. Family, yes, we're going through all sorts of things, but no matter what you're going through, whether it's COVID or whether it's cancer or whether it's all sorts of back pains and all sorts of things that we go through in this life, failing organs, we have to know that we walk in the light of God's countenance. God is with us. He'll take care of us. Yes, do the things that we must do. Take the medicines that we think we should take. Don't take the medicines we think we should take. Whatever it is you want to do, but know that you're in the countenance of the Lord. In the countenance of the Lord, this physical body is only temporary. Our real glory begins at the return of Jesus Christ. Remember Teruah. Remember Teruah. Let's look at this third area. That was 11 of the 36. Let's look at this third example here. 8 of the 36. Remember the trumpet. Remember the trumpet. Remembering the trumpet blast is pretty much where we generally focus in with regard to the Day of Trumpets. The trumpet blast. You know, we think about just the trumpet blast, only the trumpet blast. But you can see here, when you look at the memorial of blowing of Teruah, it means so much more. Not just the trumpet blast, but the other occurrences, because the other occurrences add width and depth and length and height to the return of Jesus Christ throughout scripture. That's why we have to broaden it. But it also absolutely means the trumpet blast. Go back with me. We've read this a couple times. Leviticus 23 and verse 24. Leviticus 23 and verse 24. In this place, this is where Teruah is translated, the blowing of trumpets. But the word is Teruah. The word is Teruah. It says here, again, speak to the children of Israel, saying, the seventh month on the first day of the month shall be a Sabbath rest, a memorial, a blowing of Teruah, a memorial of Teruah, a holy convocation. Remember the trumpet. Leviticus 25, verse 9. 25, verse 9. then you shall cause the trumpet of the Jubilee to sound on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement. You shall make the trumpet sound throughout all your land. There's going to be a trumpet sounding when Satan is put away. Remember that. Don't forget about that. Things are just not going to continue to spiral out of control. There's going to come a time when it's going to come to an end at the return of Jesus Christ. Remember the trumpet. Go with me over to Numbers chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Numbers chapter 10, beginning in verse 1. Remember the trumpet. Remember the sound that the trumpet makes. Numbers chapter 10, beginning in verse 1, it says, "And the Lord spoke to Moses, saying, make two silver trumpets for yourself. You shall make them of hammered work. You shall use them for the calling of the congregation and for the directing of the movement of the camps. When they blow both of them, all the congregation shall gather before you at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. But if they blow only one, then the leaders, the heads of the divisions of Israel, shall gather to you. When you sound the advance, teruah," when you sound teruah, teruah, the blowing of trumpets means advance. Time to get up, time to get moving. When they sound the advance, when they sound teruah, the camps that lie on the east side shall begin their journey. When you sound the second advance, when you sound the second teruah, the second time, the camps that lie on the south side shall begin their journey. They shall sound the call for them to begin their journeys. There will be a trumpet sound in the future that will say advance. That will say advance. Jesus Christ is going to sound that trumpet. The saints are going to rise up for a purpose of advancing on this world. It's going to be incredible. That sound absolutely does mean the blowing of a trumpet, the sound of advance. Verse 9. Numbers 10, verse 9. "When you go to war in your land against the enemies who oppress you, then you shall sound the alarm with the trumpet, and you will be remembered before the Lord your God." Again, it's not us, it's what God's going to do. "And you will be saved from your enemies. Also in the day of your gladness, in your appointed feast, and at the beginning of your months, you shall blow the trumpet over your burnt offerings and over the sacrifices of your peace offerings. And they shall be as a memorial for you before the Lord. I am the Lord your God." He emphasizes that. He's with us. Each of these examples shows that God is the one that's there. He's the one that's involved. Follow teruah through scripture. God tells them to remember the blowing of trumpets. Go with me over to Zephaniah. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 14. Zephaniah, Haggai, Zechariah. Zephaniah chapter 1 verse 14. God is telling us to remember the blowing of the trumpets. The great sound of the trumpet shall indeed sound again in the future on the day of Jesus Christ's return. It absolutely will, and all these scriptures point us to that, adds depth and clarity to that. Zephaniah chapter 1, verse 14 says, "That great day of the Lord is near. It is near and hastening quickly. The noise of the day of the Lord is bitter. There the mighty men shall cry out. The day of the Lord of wrath, the day of trouble and distress, a day of devastation and desolation, a day of darkness and gloominess, a day of cloud and thick darkness, a day of trumpet and teruah." A day of trumpet and teruah and alarm. Again, it's not the instrument, it's the sound of the instrument. Follow the sound through scripture. Follow teruah through scripture. See what God has to say about this sound in scripture. A day of trumpet and teruah against the fortified cities and against the high towers. "I will bring distress upon men, and they shall walk like blind men, because they have sinned against the Lord. Their blood has been poured out like dust, and their flesh like refuse. That great day of the Lord shall come." God is preparing us, the church, to be soldiers in that great army on the day, the Feast of Trumpets, when Jesus Christ decides to get involved in the affairs of men directly. When God the Father gives him the call and says, "It's time to advance. Pull your army together. Resurrect them. The time has come." But look who blows the trumpet. Look who else is blowing the trumpet. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 14. Zechariah chapter 9 and verse 14. God will save his people. Look who else is blowing the trumpet. Zechariah 9 verse 14. It says, then the Lord will be seen over them, and his arrow will go forth like lightning. The Lord God will blow the trumpet. Woo! What does that sound like? What does it sound like when Jesus Christ picks up a trumpet and decides to blow it? What kind of sound will that be? When Jesus Christ says, the Lord God, Jesus Christ, will blow the trumpet. Wow. And go with the whirlwinds from the south. The Lord of hosts will defend them. They shall devour and subdue with slingshots. They shall drink and roar as if with wine. They shall be filled with the blood like basins, like the corners of the altar. The Lord their God will save them in that day as a flock of his people, for they shall be like the jewels in his crown, of a crown, lifted like a banner over his land. For how great is its goodness, how great its beauty. Grain shall make the young men thrive, and new wine the young women. When the Lord God blows the trumpet, when Jesus Christ blows the trumpet in that day, the people of God will be saved. The jewels, the crown, the banner of the land, us, how great will that be? We're the jewels in the crown. We're the ones that will be lighting up the sky around with the Messiah as he's descending. We're the stars. We're the ones that people will say, well, I can't believe that. You? Yep, you. Yep, me. Matthew 24, verse 30. Matthew 24, verse 30. Then the sign of the Son of Man appeared in heaven. Then all the tribes of the earth will mourn, and they will see the Son of Man coming in the clouds of heaven with great power, with power and great glory. And he, Jesus Christ, as the Son of Man, will send his angels with the great sound of a trumpet, and they will gather together his elect from the four winds, from one end of heaven to another. That is what this is. You follow the word teruah. The indication from Zechariah 9, verse 14, and here in Matthew 24, verse 30, is that it will be the Lord God, Jesus Christ, who shall also blow the trumpet. And how incredible will that be? The fourth place, or the fourth division of this word, teruah, is remember the blast. Remember the blast. Two of the 36 times is just remember the blast. Go with me over to Psalm 150. In verse 1. Psalm 150 and verse 1. This is the last psalm in the book of Psalms. And it's incredible. In this last psalm of the book of Psalms, next to the last verse, this word teruah is used. The word teruah is used. On the Feast of Trumpets, remember the blast. Remember the blast when we come before God to praise the Lord. As the trumpet blasts, the sound of teruah, just a big clashing sound, a big bursting sound, a big blasting sound. Remember that as well on the Feast of Trumpets. We shall blast forth. We shall blast forth. You know, how does corruptible become incorruptible? How does physical become spiritual? It's incredible. It probably is an incredible sound that will take place when we're converted from this physical body to the spiritual body. Here in Psalm 150, beginning in verse 1, it says, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord in his sanctuary. Praise him in his mighty firmament. Praise him for his mighty acts. Praise him according to his excellent greatness. Praise him with the sound of trumpets. Praise him with the lute and the harp. Praise him with the timbrel and dance. Praise him with the string instruments and the flutes. Praise him with the loud cymbals. Praise him with the clashing, the teruah cymbals. The clashing cymbals. Praise him with the big clash. A big clash. Let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Everything. When will everything praise the Lord? Everything praise the Lord. The return of Jesus Christ begins that process. The Feast of Trumpets begins that process to come to the place where everything praises the Lord. Simply following Teruah through scriptures brings us this additional wealth of understanding of what it said there in Leviticus 23, verse 24. Family, the primary meaning of blowing of trumpets is to raise a noise by shouting with an instrument, especially a horn, or the voice, or the sounds, or the shofar. The blowing of trumpets, Teruah, the sound is what God is pointing us to. The sound is very important to God. It is an alarm. It is a signal to stand up, to take notice. The word resurrection itself means to stand up from below. Something will happen when that trumpet blasts. Something will take place when that trumpet blasts. God says, remember the sound. Look through scripture and see where this word is used. And don't forget the occurrences. Therefore, God says, as we go back and finish up here in Leviticus 23, where we began, Leviticus 23 and verse 24. Says, speak to the children of Israel, saying, in the seventh month, on the first day of the month, you shall have a Sabbath rest, a memorial of Teruah. Remember Teruah. Remember the memorial of the blowing of trumpets. Remember the sound. Remember Teruah. Have a holy convocation on that day. You shall do no customary work on it. You shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. On the Feast of Trumpets, family, remember the shout. Remember the joyful shout. Remember the trumpet blast. Remember the blast. Thank God for the Feast of Trumpets that we're able to celebrate in this lifetime. Thank God for the Feast of Trumpets, the sound of the trumpet, the sound of the blowing trumpet, the Teruah, the shout, which shall be fulfilled at the return of Jesus Christ, when the Lord God shall send his angels with the great sound of the trumpet, call and resurrect his children from the grave to join up with him, and the kingdoms of this world will begin the process of becoming the kingdoms of our Lord and of his Christ. Thank God for the sound of the trumpet. Thank God for the sound of the trumpet. A memorial of blowing of Teruah. Let us not ever, ever forget.